Is the idea of a brain death just a myth in order for doctors to steal our organs? Also, and an expert is going to be commenting on that. Also, a new study has shown that nearly half of CBD users have been able to quit taking pharmaceuticals. This is going to be a very controversial show. Pray YouTube doesn't delete it. All that and more on today's Peck Report. Well, this is definitely a show that we'll have to be careful with, because YouTube is going to do everything they can to suppress it. They've been doing this new thing, by the way. Any of you who have a YouTube channel, any of you content creators out there, tell me if this has been happening to you, because it's been happening to us. YouTube will do this thing now where we put in our tags, we put in all of our tags. You know, we fill them up, 500 tags. You get 500 characters. We use all of them. We'll save it. Video will go live, and then we'll notice some videos don't get that many views. We'll go back and check. Half of our tags have been deleted. It'll go down to 200 characters. Like, half of them are just deleted out of nowhere. YouTube just gets rid of them. I tried searching for this online, and I haven't found anybody publicly saying anything about it. But, of course, search engines, that's run by Google, so they're probably not going to let that stuff get out in the open anyway. But YouTube has been doing a lot of stuff to mess with our channel. Not only did they demonetize us, but they shadow ban us. They don't put us on suggested stuff as often as they would say they are. There's been a lot of funny business going on, and this getting rid of tags has been the new thing. It's actually not really new. They've been doing it for a few months now, but it's weird. They'll do it for a while, then they'll stop, and then if we talk about something controversial, they'll go and do it again, like right after, and then they'll do it for like a bunch of videos, and then they'll stop. It's very frustrating. But this kind of stuff is what birthed Daily Renegade. I'm telling you guys, this Daily Renegade is growing so fast. YouTube is going to have some serious competition to deal with, and they created it. They created it. All they had to do was just play fair and be honest. And I would not have created Daily Renegade if it weren't for YouTube deleting our videos and being really vague and not getting back with us and telling us why, just basically playing unfair. If YouTube wouldn't have done that, there would be no Daily Renegade to compete with. But the new goal of Daily Renegade is to get out from under the boot of YouTube, to get off of YouTube completely and not have to be dependent on YouTube. And really, we as Christians, we should want that anyway. We shouldn't be dependent on some evil, evil corporation that tells us what to think and what not to think, what we can and can't talk about, what opinions we can hold, and what must be suppressed. We shouldn't be dependent on a corporation like that. So the plan is to get off of YouTube completely. We are headed towards that goal, but it's going to take people signing up and becoming members. So we will get there, but become a member today. Go to dailyrenegade.com and you will get all the information in this Peck Report. There's a lot of information here that we're not going to be able to talk about publicly on YouTube, but it will be available for members only at dailyrenegade.com. We'll tell you a little bit more about that later. So let's see if we're able to discuss this without YouTube just suppressing it. This comes from LifeSite News, but the headline is that brain death is a medical fiction invented to harvest organs from living people, according to an expert, according to this expert here. So it says, is it morally permissible to harvest the organs of a person in a coma declared brain dead by doctors? Why and when did organ transplantation first come about? And what is the church's teaching on using organs from a person deemed to be brain dead? Okay, now, when they talk, I believe this is a Catholic site, so when they talk about the church's teachings, they're talking about teachings within Catholicism. Most Daily Renegade viewers are like me. You guys are probably mostly Protestant. We're not opposed to Catholic viewers, by the way. You know, all of our, you know, Catholic brothers and sisters who love the Lord Jesus Christ and recognize him as the Savior. Again, your brothers and sisters, you're welcome aboard. But there's going to be some stuff that's discussed in here that wouldn't really apply to Protestants, and I'll try to I'll try to kind of mitigate that and talk about that a little bit without excluding anybody. But I will tell you one thing. I am not an organ donor. I've heard too many horror stories, and I don't know how many are true. I have no idea, but I've heard too many stories from too many people that it seems like if you're an organ donor, they don't work as hard to try to save your life because there's more profit to be made from your organs than there is to, you know, save your life. And other horrific things. I mean, we know about Planned Parenthood selling baby parts and stuff like that. So we know this kind of stuff happens. There is a market for this stuff. But let's continue on. It says, these questions and more are answered by Doyen Nguyen. I don't know if I'm pronouncing that right. Doyen Nguyen. During an in-depth interview with the Italian magazine Radici Christiani, and there is a full interview that we can look at, but she blames a consumerist culture for causing many to accept the idea of brain death, a term that she refers to as incoherent and medical fiction. Now, we obviously know there is a point where the brain does die, but how is it used medically? That's the question here. It's not, is the term brain death a real thing? Obviously, we know the brain dies at some point, but how is it used medically? What does the medical term mean, and how loose is the spectrum of brain? You wouldn't think brain death would be on a spectrum at all, but how loose is it? So let's continue. Nguyen is a lay Dominican and professor at the Pontifical University of St. Thomas Aquinas Angelicum in Rome. She presented or will be presenting. Well, according to the date on this, this was like a month ago. So it says she will be, but probably already has. Yeah, she already has presented on the topic of brain death at a medicological construct, scientific and philosophical evidence conference hosted by John Paul II Academy for Human Life and Family in Rome. And that occurred May 20 through the 21st. So Professor Joseph Seffert, Bishop Athanasius Schneider, and Friar Edmund Waldstein, among others, man, some of these names, will present to the gathering as well, which was held at the Hotel Massimo di Azeglio. Okay. Now, in this far-reaching interview, Nguyen says that the ad hoc Harvard committee in 1968 redefined the term brain death to mean somebody in an irreversible coma. Nguyen says this was done in order to serve the interests of the organ transplantation industry and to avoid public outcry that would have viewed transplant surgeons as organ-stealing killers. Nguyen refutes the invention of the term brain death to describe someone in an irreversible coma by arguing that the term irreversible coma itself indicates that the patient is alive for the simple reason that only a living person can become comatose or remain comatose. In other words, it would be an oxymoron to say that a corpse is in a coma. Absolutely correct. So when a doctor declares a comatose patient to be dead, that patient does not thereby become dead, she said. So, you know, just because you call something dead doesn't mean it's actually dead. It has to be objectively dead. Nguyen criticized John Paul II's 2000 address to the 18th International Congress of Transplantation Society for its short-sightedness. Nguyen says John Paul's remarks, which suggest brain death in certain cases does not seem to conflict with the essential elements of a sound anthropology, did not take into consideration all the literature available on the topic at the time. Nguyen says that the address should be amended or better yet retracted. Nguyen proceeds to explain how the church should understand brain death. Now, again, when they in this context, when they say church, they mean the Catholic Church. Typically, when we Protestants say church, we just mean all Christians. Whether a Christian identifies as Catholic or Protestant doesn't really matter, or what denomination, you know, Baptist or Charismatic, it doesn't really matter. As long what makes a person a Christian is their standing with Jesus Christ. That's it. No other labels. So when we say church, we mean all of Christians. Typically, when Catholics use the term church, they mean specifically the Catholic Church. So there's an interview here. The question with Radici Christiane, and Radici Christiane's full interview is here with Don Nguyen. So the person asking the question is Radici, and the person answering is the expert Nguyen. So the question is raised. We can just use RC for the interviewer. And Nguyen for the interviewee, for the person answering the question. So RC asks, there are people who think that brain death is a great deception. Do you agree? Nguyen replies, yes, brain death has been a medical fiction from its very inception. The evidence for this can be found in the manuscript drafts of the ad hoc Harvard Committee report, which introduced brain death on August 5th, 1968. The committee, headed by its chairman, Dr. Beecher, worked swiftly on this report from March through June 25th, 1968. In the first manuscript draft, Beecher wrote, quote, the question before this committee cannot be simply to define brain death. This would not advance the cause of organ transplantation, since it would not cope with the essential issue of when the surgical team is authorized legally, morally, and medically in removing a vital organ, end quote. In the penultimate manuscript draft on June 3rd, 1968, Beecher wrote, quote, with increased experience and knowledge and development in the field of transplantation, there is great need for the tissues and organs of the hopelessly comatose in order to restore to health those who are still salvageable, end quote. Nguyen continues, the language in the manuscript drafts of Harvard report is thus overtly explicit with regard to the connection between organ donation and the birth of brain death. In other words, the real reason why the Harvard committee redefined irreversible coma as death and gave it a new name, brain death, is for a twofold purpose. One, to have fresh, viable organs more readily available for the transplantation enterprise, and two, at the same time, to avoid any public outcry that transplant surgeons were organ-stealing killers. In the final draft, which became the Harvard report, the explicitly utilitarian language in the earlier drafts was toned down by Ebert, then the dean of the Harvard Medical School, in order to make it seem that transplantation was not the primary cause of the birth of brain death. So, in a nutshell, brain death is a construct to serve the interest of organ transplantation. And, you know, this is always the case. Anytime humanity wants to do something selfish, they wrap it around a veneer of some human interest thing, some humanitarian effort. Well, we have to save lives, so we have to take organs that are still in use by people in comas to keep these other people alive. But they would not do that unless it was profitable. If it was profitable the other way around, if it was more profitable, if there was more of an industry around keeping comatose people alive and in comas, that's the direction they would go. They base their morality on what's most profitable. That's why the medical industry is a travesty. It has become in many ways a very evil enterprise. I'm not saying all doctors are evil. I'm not saying that at all. Certainly, I mean, I'd be the biggest hypocrite in the world if I did say that. We support St. Jude's. 5% of your membership goes to St. Jude's. St. Jude's treated my son for cancer and cured him, and he's fine. He's great now. But the medical industry as a whole is in serious trouble. It's a mess. I should say in regards to Nathan, it's not that he's fine now. I don't want to be flippant about that. He is in remission. And he is still undergoing treatment to make sure the cancer doesn't come back. That is going to take another 2.5 years. That's why we put up the donate page at dailyrenegade.com. If you care to donate and help Nathan out with these extreme medical costs, that would be greatly appreciated. You can donate there, dailyrenegade.com/donate. But the medical establishment, just the industry itself, has become extremely corrupt. And it's because of stuff like this. RC asks, what is the scientific medical evidence showing that brain death is not true human death? Nguyen says, here I will answer you with a long quote taken from a peer-reviewed article written by Kapanji and DeGroot. They are supporters of organ transplantation and therefore of brain death, yet because of academic honesty, they have to admit that brain death is a construct for the purpose of organ transplantation. They wrote, quote, suppose one of your loved ones is admitted to an ICU with a subarachnoid hemorrhage, and you are sitting next to her in bed, overwhelmed by emotions and holding her hand. She is deeply comatose, connected to a ventilator. Intravenous vasopressors are needed to keep her blood pressure stable. You are hoping for the best, but fear the worst, and the worst comes. The intensivist tells you her brain is dead. Then he asks you for permission to take out her organs. You and your loved one had never thought about this scenario of dying. You had heard about brain death, but you don't have a picture of it in your head. You ask the doctor, when will she die? He answers, she is already dead. You don't believe him because there are so many signs of life. Her skin is warm. Her heart is beating. Taking out her organs while her heart is still beating seems like a scene from a cheap horror film. We are, as most intensivists, greatly in favor of organ donation for transplantation. The whole concept of organ donation is founded on the concept that the potential organ donor is really dead at the moment that the brain death is declared. This is pivotal in order to gain even remote public acceptance of organ donation. They have to be ensured that their loved one is dead before their organs are taken out. But the bare fact that many brain dead patients can continue to perform a variety of integrative functions over indefinite time periods, including maintaining body temperature, persistent and adequate hypothalamic hormonal function, regulating salt and water, homeostasis, digesting administered food, healing wounds, increase of infection markers and healing infections, stress responses to bodily interventions such as surgery and gestating fetuses in pregnant brain-dead women, makes some wonder whether a brain-dead patient is as dead as the doctors say, or they mistrust the statement that the patient has been pronounced brain dead or dead. For example, it is very difficult to see brain dead pregnant women in whose womb a fetus grows over a time period for 2 to 3 months after the determination of brain death as a cadaver. They are just too many signs of life. Declaring these patients dead solely on the basis of a definition seems to contradict our common sense of what it is to be alive. Brain death is, since the first definition in the scientific literature in 1968, closely related to organ donation. This is why some scholars consider equating brain death to death as a moral and legal fiction. Without the need of transplantation medicine, brain death as death would not exist at all, but would be seen as irreversible coma. End quote. Nguyen goes on to say, in fact, the above quote should remind us of the opening statement in the Harvard report, which states, quote, our primary purpose is to define irreversible coma as a new criterion for death, end quote. Note, however, the term irreversible coma itself indicates that the patient is alive for the simple reason that only a living person can become comatose or remain comatose. In other words, it would be an oxymoron to say that a corpse is in a coma. Moreover, both life and death are realities, the nature of which is mind independent. The world is what it is, regardless of what anyone says or thinks about it, and that world includes phenomena such as life, death, diseases, and all natural things from inorganic matter to human persons. Such natural entities are not open to revision or stipulation. In other words, death, understood as a biological phenomenon, is not the kind of thing that occurs by fiat, like in the case of marriage. When a doctor declares a comatose patient whose heart is beating and whose skin is warm and pink to be dead, the patient does not thereby become dead. That's the end of his answer for that. And think about it too. You know, it's not only organ transplantation, but there's a huge, this has been in the culture for a long time. You see it constantly in movies. You know, somebody becomes brain dead and usually the one who's scorned is the one who tries to keep the person alive at all costs is the one that's scorned, because they're seen as inhumane. They're not letting them go in peace. They're holding on for selfish reasons. You know, you're not letting your wife go. Just let her go. Don't let her suffer here with tubes in her throat and all this stuff. Let her go. That has been so pervasive in our culture for such a long time. But it's not just organ transplantation. It's turning beds, turning rooms, getting patients in and out as fast as possible so you can bring more in. Because, again, it's a business. It's like a fast food line. Get as many in and out as fast as possible. It's a business. So, of course, they're going to do things like that. Of course, they're going to try and get people out of there as fast as possible if they feel like they can't treat them. And look, the thing about an irreversible coma, there's no such thing as an irreversible coma. People have come out of comas. People have come out of irreversible comas before. It's rare, but it is impossible to predict the future. There have been people that have been in comas for a very long period of time where everybody said that they wouldn't survive, yet they still managed to. It doesn't happen all the time, and it is rare. But for somebody to take the decision into their own hands, I should say for somebody to be convinced to take the decision into their own hands and end the process, I think does a great disservice to the person who's in the coma. It's stripping away their chance. They don't have a chance to fight. They don't have a chance to possibly live again. Even if it's a diminished quality of life, who gets to determine that? You could say that I have a diminished quality of life because I have a bone disease. Does that mean that some doctor gets to decide if I'm going to live or die? You know, imagine that you were diagnosed with cancer and you were given 2 months to live, and it's going to be a hard 2 months. You're going to have to go through a lot of suffering and torture. Do you want to make the decision if you are going to essentially, I don't mean this in a negative, derogatory way, but essentially give up and just not fight that fight and just go home to be with the Lord if you're a Christian? Are you going to do that? Or do you want to make the choice that that you're going to fight? What I mean is, do you want to be the one to make that choice, or do you want the doctor to make that choice for you? Do you want the doctor to say, I have decided this is too hard for you, it's going to be too painful, and even if you think that extra 2 months on earth with your family would be worth having, I've determined that your quality of life is going to be too diminished, you're going to be taking up too many resources that other people could use, and so we're going to euthanize you now. This kind of stuff is happening today. They're moving in on the elderly, they're moving in on the severely handicapped, the mentally handicapped. It's ridiculous. I have told my wife before, and we have decided if anything happens to either of us, no pulling the plug. Nope. Because I don't trust a doctor's objectivity. I don't trust a doctor to be able to objectively just relay the truth on what's happening. I don't trust that the doctor doesn't have any biases of his own. Again, I'm not saying that doctors are evil. I'm not saying that. I'm saying a doctor can be convinced of things, you know, just like anybody can. We can all be deceived. And many doctors do believe that it is the humane thing to pull the plug and let them peacefully drift off. I don't think that's peaceful at all, personally. Now, I understand there are a lot of people that have had to make that difficult decision and have decided to pull the plug. I'm not judging, all right? I totally get it. I understand why. I'm just saying for me, and I'm not even suggesting that anybody agree with me. You may totally disagree. You may think that this is the most inhumane decision ever. That's fine. I would say before you make a decision yourself, though, look into all the research. Look at it from both sides. See the benefits. See the consequences. Look at everything and make that decision with God. Don't make it with some doctor. But my wife and I have talked about this. I don't care how many resources it drains, because I don't care that much about money. You know, money versus life, the amazing miracle of life that God gave each and every one of us, I don't want to waste that. Look, God gave me and you a life for a reason. I don't want to waste it just because the chances aren't good. I don't care if I'm in a coma for 20 years. I don't care if I waste all the hospital's resources, if I deplete my own life savings in the process. I don't, I actually don't even really care if the taxpayers have to pay for it. I know that sounds cold-hearted. I think it's more cold-hearted to say for somebody else to say, well, I don't want a 2% tax hike, you know, in my taxes just to keep somebody else alive. I think worrying about money over life, that's the heartless thing. And I'm not willing to give my life just to save somebody a few bucks. I'm not willing to do it. And I'm not willing to give up the life of my wife or my kids or anybody in my family. So, you know, Christina and I have looked at all sides of this, and we continue to talk about it. And, you know, but our decision is it doesn't matter what it takes. We give life every chance it has. We give the person who's in the coma or life-threatening situation, we give them every chance they have to fight, especially if they can't speak for themselves. We give them every chance they have to come out of that coma, because it does happen. It may be rare. You know, it may be that 99.99999% of people will lose that fight. But at least they were given a chance. And ultimately, that decision is up to God anyway. That's just, you know, how we see it. Now, with the whole organ transplant thing, I am not an organ donor. I never will be. Again, that is looked at as a very heartless thing in today's culture. I don't think it's heartless at all. I think the heartless thing is to blindly trust the very corrupt, the objectively corrupt medical establishment, medical business, that they're really going to have your best interest at heart. They're going to have the best interests of your organs, where they can profit from it and they can give it to somebody else who they can profit from again. And the best interest of those organs is to take them out while you're still alive. That's why they made up this whole brain dead thing. So there are a lot of different things that could be said about this topic. And I know it's a contentious topic. Again, that's why I said I don't judge anybody who doesn't agree with me on this. I totally get there's going to be a lot of people, Christians and non-Christians alike. This isn't really like a fundamental Christian pillar that we all have to agree on in order to be Christian. It doesn't work like that. It's a contentious issue, but it is something that we should be talking about openly. How does God feel about this? You know, I really don't know. I could see a case made either way. I personally think the stronger case is to say God gave us life. We should do everything in our power to protect it. Even if that means going through some pain and suffering, or even a lot of it, if there's any hope, if there's any chance that we can come out of it on the other side and still do something for the Lord, then we should do that. Now, look, again, I have not been put in that situation, so I don't know. I can't say for 100% certainty what I would do. If I was in some terrible accident and I was living every day in agonizing pain, slipping in and out of comas, I don't know for sure that there wouldn't come a time where I would say, you know what, I know there's a chance that I could come out of this, but I'm just done. I'm tired. I just want to be done. I don't know. I really don't know. That's why I don't judge anybody who's made that decision or who has had to make that decision for their loved one, whichever way they've decided to go. I don't know. But looking at it from all sides, I just don't see how convenience can ever be justification to end somebody's life. It's more convenient. It's more convenient on the taxpayers and on the hospital and on the other person who needs the bed and on the finances of the family. It's more convenient if they don't have this wonderful, miraculous gift of life, even if they're just laying there not talking and not saying anything and not even conscious. I can't make that leap. To me, it's too close to let's kill unborn babies because it's more convenient for the mother and they're going to live very hard lives anyway. They're going to be in horrible poverty anyway. So let's just end the life in the womb. It's too close to that argument for me. I don't like it personally. So that is where I'm personally at with it. You know, again, I'm open to other opinions. I always am on any issue. But I know for me and Christina, we have already talked quite extensively about that, and we both agree that if anything happens to either of us, we're in it for the long haul, and we're not giving up, we're not pulling any plugs. It doesn't matter the cost, it doesn't matter what it takes. If there is any chance that life can be preserved, life will be preserved. So, again, very contentious. I would like to know what you think. If you care to talk about it. If not, I get it. But I would like to know what you think. There is more to this article, but we're already coming up on half an hour, and we have a whole other thing to talk about. Leave me a comment in the comment section below. If you want to find the whole article, it's on LifeSite News. The title is Brain Death is a Medical Fiction Invented to Harvest Organs. So you can check that out. There's more to the interview. There is a few more questions, more points to be made. So go ahead and check that out. And we need to move on. But leave me a comment in the comment section below. Let me know what you think. I am genuinely interested in your opinion because, again, like with anything else, maybe there's a side of this that I have neglected to look at. You know, I don't know. I could be wrong on this. I don't believe I am. But I think that that's the safest bet. When it comes to things like this, you know, I think you err on the side of caution. And I think, you know, a loss of life is worse than a loss of quality of life, if that makes sense. So, again, but I know there's different angles. I'm excited to actually read your comments and see what you have to say about it. Before we move on, I've got to tell you about something that actually might give you a little bit more quality of life if you are suffering, as I do-ish, but not as much as I used to before I learned about Kratom. I take Kratom every day. So I, again, like I said, I have a rare bone disease. I have chronic pain. I have an undiagnosed illness. It's a mystery thing that doctors can't figure out. But without anything, I'm in a lot of pain. And I used to be hopelessly addicted to narcotics because of it. Doctor would just write me as much as I wanted, basically. And I got really addicted. I moved from Vicodin to oxycodone very quickly. Because that's the thing with narcotics. You have to keep taking more for it to keep working. Kratom's not, I haven't found Kratom to be like that. I've been able to pretty much take the same dose every day and I'm fine. Coastline Kratom is an excellent resource for people with chronic pain. I really like Kratom. I take it every day. I don't get fuzzy headed the way that narcotics used to make me. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence. I have to be careful how I say things. There's a lot of anecdotal evidence suggesting that there are very significant pain-relieving qualities to Kratom. That has been my experience, for sure. Actually, it's to the point I don't think I could function or do this show or do Skywatch or write books. I don't know if I could do any of that without Kratom. I was bedridden before Kratom. So I know what it's like without it, and I don't like it. Kratom is great. It's given me my life back. I believe that it could do the same for you. Even if you just have backaches or something, I mean, it helps with a wide variety of pain. It doesn't have to be excruciating pain. It could just be, you know, sore bones and joints. I mean, who doesn't have that? So you should check out Coastline Kratom. They offer a money-back guarantee, so if you don't like it, you can return it. They are an excellent seller of Kratom. Check it out. Click the link in the description below. Do your own research. Or you can go to dailyrenegade.com for more information on that. I do have a couple of videos up there for members only. I can't talk too much about Kratom on YouTube because YouTube just deletes the videos. There's a lot of false claims out there that we've addressed for members only. So you can go there. Also, while you're there, you can check out my good friends at CBD Pure and CBD Pets. CBD is another one of those things that people have used for pain relief, for anxiety, even for your pets. This is something else I use every day. And the cool thing that I found out, I take it an hour before bed every night. I sleep great. I actually dream again the way that I used to when I was a kid, like really nice, vivid dreams, which is it's nice to get that back. I haven't had that since I was a teenager, since I started working and going to school full time and all that. I lost my dreams, but I got those back. Which is great. And just good, deep sleep, good, restful, deep sleep. So I originally took it for that, but I found that I haven't needed as much Kratom since I've been doing this every day. So I have found that it helped with my pain too. CBD Pure and CBD Pets is great. It is non-GMO, totally organic, pesticide-free, all the stuff that you want. It is pure. They live up to their name. It's a completely transparent company. So they put all their testing on their website. They test through a third-party independent facility, so you know that there's no bias. Go to dailyrenegade.com or click on the link in the description below and pick up some of the – check out their products. Even if you just go there and check out their products, just see what they have. It's excellent. I love it. All right. I probably didn't need to say that again, but I was blanking on anything else to say about it. All right, everybody. Well, we do have to move on to members-only content now because, not by my choice, but because we actually do need to talk about a new study that shows nearly half of CBD users are able to stop taking pharmaceuticals. I can't really openly talk too much about that on YouTube because they will delete it. They'll get rid of it. They see it as false medical claims and stuff, and it's not. So I would love it if you would become a member so you can have access to all full PEC reports, all full every show that we do, and not just the free, the free versions that you get on YouTube that are heavily edited and chopped up because we have to, because YouTube will delete them if we don't. Become a member today at dailyrenegade.com, $100 a year or $10 a month. I suggest doing the $100 a year because if you do that, you get 2 months for free. And you only have to pay for it once, and you don't have to think about it for a whole year. Isn't that amazing? So it's a great deal. And look, if you're having trouble coming up with the money, for one thing, I suggest if you have Netflix or Hulu or any of those, cancel it and just come to us. We're going to give you better stuff anyway. But not only that, if you want to write for Daily Renegade, we are accepting writer submissions. Send me an article, 2,000 words or more. Topic of your choice, something that you think would be good for the Daily Renegade audience. I'll take any topic that aligns with our values as Christians. But what I would love to see some like current event stuff or even some political stuff, some investigative journalism and reporting would be great. That's an area that we're kind of lacking in right now. But you can write on anything, even if it's prophecy, even if it's stuff that we post, as long as it's good. It's got to be good. You got to be a good writer. You got to know how to cite your sources. It's got to be entertaining to read because we're not going to give our members and readers garbage. So it's got to be good. But send me your article, joshpeckdisclosure@gmail.com. I'll be happy to take a look at it. And if you're accepted, you will get a free membership. Anybody who contributes to Daily Renegade gets a free membership. So you can do that. But the easiest way is just to click on the link in the description below or go to dailyrenegade.com and become a member. That price again, $10 a month or $100 a year. All right, we are going to call it quits for free members, or well, not really members, but for free viewers, I should say. People on YouTube and Facebook, thank you so much for joining. Don't forget to subscribe to this channel. Click on the bell for notifications. Members, hang on the line. Everybody else, I will see you later. Thank you for joining us. Take care. God bless. All right, members only. Hope you are doing well. Thank you for your membership, by the way. It goes to support not only a lot of great causes, but everything that we're trying to do here at Daily Renegade. And if it wasn't for you guys, we wouldn't be able to do this. So let's talk about CBD, since we can talk freely now. The largest study to date regarding cannabidiol, I'm just going to say CBD because I don't know how to say the word. It's a hard word to say. But the largest study to date regarding this stuff has just been completed, and it's pretty amazing. It has shown that many patients are finding such great relief from their ailments using CBD that they are able to give up pharmaceutical prescriptions entirely. So, this research was conducted by Brightfield Group and HelloMD. It covered 2,400 of HelloMD's community. The pool consisted of 55% women. So statistically speaking, the results showed that men preferred THC-dominant products over CBD. Now, at CBD Pure, CBD Pets, it's non-psychoactive, so this stuff doesn't like get you high or anything. It's totally fine. I know I'm being rude. I keep checking my phone, but during recording here, Christina does have Nathan at treatments at the hospital, and I just have to keep up to date on his treatments, what's going on, if he's handling it okay. Looks like he's doing great. So we are good. So my apologies for that. By the way, Christina says hi, everybody. So does Nathan. So Dr. Perry Solomon, who is the chief medical officer at HelloMD, says the main reasons people use CBD are to treat insomnia, depression, anxiety, and joint pain. And I can tell you that this, from my personal experience, works great for all this stuff. Quote, we are seeing an exponential rise in the interest of CBD products from our patient community, particularly among women. End quote. Solomon reported this to Forbes. Quote, while we still have much to learn about CBD, we cannot ignore this one fact. The majority of those using CBD products today receive great benefit. This has the potential for far-reaching consequences. End quote. So right now, 42% of CBD users involved in the study told researchers that they had been able to give up prescription medications like Tylenol, ibuprofen, and stronger addictive prescription pain relievers thanks to CBD products. I've heard that from many of you out there. Many of you out there who have started taking CBD Pure and even CBD Pets for your pets have said that you've gotten great benefit from it. A startling 80% of the surveyed population said that they found CBD to be, quote, very or extremely effective, end quote. 3%, only 3% claim they did not notice any notable effect. You know, and I'll tell you something. My first experience with CBD, I did first try it a while ago, maybe a year ago. Somebody had sent me a batch that they actually made. And I tried it, but I didn't notice any effect. I'm used to kratom, where you take it once and you feel pretty much instantaneous effects. You feel better after 10 or 20 minutes. But I tried it, didn't notice anything. I even took it for a couple of days, but didn't notice anything. And it could have been the strength or effectiveness of that particular CBD from my friend that you know, maybe he just didn't make a good batch or something. You know, I don't know. But that's what I like about CBD Pure, because it's consistently good. Since going through them and trying that, it didn't take long for me to notice results. I did have to take it for a few days before I started noticing this is actually working on my pain. That's great. Some people notice effects right away. Some people it takes a few days. It took a few days for me. So that might account for some of that 3%. But even if not, only 3% said they didn't notice anything at all. So here's another quote. This is from Bethany Gomez, who's the director of the Brightfield Group. Quote, this study is exciting because it shows there is potentially a huge, barely tapped market for CBD products that could improve the lives of many people. With further research and public education, CBD could be an effective alternative treatment for many people, particularly at a time when our nation is in the midst of an opioid crisis, end quote. So they give a list here from Leafly.com, which you can check out at just realpharmacy.com. It's on high CBD, low THC strains, and mixed THC CBD strains. I believe CBD Pure is low or maybe even no THC. I'm not sure. I would have to look into that. But I do know that it's non-psychoactive. So this doesn't mess with your head, doesn't get you high, doesn't do anything like that. That's actually a big myth with anti-CBD people. They say that it's the same as smoking pot. It's not. It's not. It's the same as like, I don't know. You can have a cup of tea, or you can try and smoke a tea bag. You know what's gonna hurt you? What's gonna be fine for you? You know, it's sort of like that. So nobody's getting high from this stuff. By the way, it's the same with kratom. With kratom, the first time you take it, first couple of times, you might notice a little bit of a buzz. It's similar to taking a lot of coffee or something. It's not uncomfortable. It's not unpleasant in the way that coffee is. But that's why I suggest for people who are just taking it for the first time, do it on a weekend where you know you don't have to do anything. And it takes a couple times before the buzziness starts to fade, but that does go away. And it's not intense. And it doesn't, it's never fogged my mind or made me like think differently in the way that narcotics would. So that's good. But just, you know, in full fairness of the truth and everything, there is a bit of a buzz associated with kratom when you take it at first. But again, that buzz does go away. The cool thing is the pain relieving qualities do not go away. I've been able to pretty much take the same amount ever since I started taking it. And it's been a few years. So that's really interesting. I hope they do more studies like this. And I hate that we had to make that for members only, but it's unfortunately the case that YouTube would delete a video like that. They still might delete it because of what we talked about in the first segment. So we'll see. But that's why Daily Renegade exists. That's why you're members. You don't ever have to worry about membership. And we're a part of a family. Isn't that nice? We're part of a big, happy family. I love you guys. And this has honestly been, I think, one of the best things to come out of a terrible situation in my life. The terrible situation with YouTube censorship and deleting videos, which is awful. But through that, because the Lord, he can work all things together for good for those who love him and are called according to his purposes. Through that horrible thing that YouTube did, Daily Renegade is now a thing. Now people have a place they can go for just really good Christian information that they're not going to hear in church. And you don't have to pay the high cost of a conference. And you always have access to it. So isn't that great? Speaking of conferences, we are going to be doing online conferences with the hosts of Daily Renegade from the people that you watch on here. We are going to be doing online conferences at some point in the future when we can afford to do it. We'll do physical conferences too. That would be really cool. I do want to do that. We're not there yet. That is a very costly endeavor that we cannot afford that right now. We can't afford to take on that risk just yet. We might be able to do an online conference soon, relatively soon, maybe within a year. But we also have other things that we want to do. We want to make an app for you guys. We want to make this just so cool for members that there's not anything like it on the planet. That's what we're planning on doing. At least nothing in the Christian realm, certainly nothing in the fringe Christian realm. This has never been done in fringe Christianity before. We're going to get you some cool stuff. So very excited about that. Also, if you have any suggestions, let us know. We're constantly working to improve the website, improve the functionality, improve the features. So more of that is coming. And you already know that because you've already seen the progress. The website is certainly better now than it was, say, a month ago. And it was better a month ago than it was 2 months before that. So we're constantly improving, constantly making things better. We are opening up to some new alternative platforms as well. So we're getting back on DTube and Brighteon, Minds, MeWe, a list of others. We'll have a list on the website as soon as we get it all established. So look forward to that. And we have some new article. Michael Boldea is producing, he's allowing us to, have some of his, he's going to have articles on the website. I'm thinking shortly we're going to make full articles, a members only feature. So like when you go to any other like subscription news source, you click on their website, you can get like the first paragraph or two of the article, but then you have to pay for a subscription to get the rest. I think we're going to be like that. You'll get it for free. You guys are already members. You're going to get all that for free. But for people just, seeing our content for free, I think we're going to make our full articles a members only thing. That might be one of the next things that we do. So we got some cool stuff headed for you guys, headed in those realms, and we'll see what else the Lord has for us. So I'm very excited. Thank you so much for the prayers. Thank you for the love and for the fellowship. I couldn't do this without you guys. You guys are amazing. You guys are family, and I love you a lot. So just thanks for being part of the team. Thank you for the prayer. Thank you for the support, encouragement, for everything that you guys do. I sincerely pray that what we're doing here, that this service that we're providing has made your contributions worth it. And if not, please let us know how we can improve. That's always helpful. All right, everybody, I think we're going to call it good there. Thank you so much. And until next time, take care and God bless. Whoops. Take care and God bless. A little blooper. I have this Stream Deck thing. This is how I control camera angles for doing these. But I also send this to our media manager, who's actually my brother, Cody. I send it, and usually I don't like to give him a lot of editing. So you just got a free blooper. I hit the wrong button, and I went from the closing screen instead of hitting the record button to turn recording off. I went back to that angle. So, all right, there you go. A little behind-the-scenes humor for you. So, all right, love you all. Take care, and God bless.